Yeah. Welcome to the jungle. There is your deck of yeah for a Friday. Because it's going to be an awesome weekend. Really good Friday show for you. Let's get it. I cannot waste any time. I've got a ton of interviews, lots of content, reaction to the NFL draft, and more. 1-800-636-8686. You know we are live in Southern California in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know that Rocket can. Quickly, let me set it up. If you already know what you want to talk about, and you should coming off a night like that, start dialing right now, 1-800-636-8686. For the right telephone call, I will bust open this format. I would take a telephone call in the opening segment on a Friday. Why? Same reason anybody does anything, because they can. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on social media at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, so it sets up like this. Lots of reaction to the NFL draft. My pal Will Brinson coming up in about 20 minutes. Top of hour number two. Excellent NFL Network analyst, Bucky Brooks. 10-20, big head bets. James Kelly all over the Kentucky Derby, the NBA, NHL, and more. Big head bets. James Kelly, 10-20. Coming up in hour number three, we'll talk some basketball with Howard Beck. I've got the week that was. I've got an ATP, and I've got a lot more. Call now, 1-800-636-8686. All right, so after months of preparation and mock drafts, the actual draft finally started last night. Finally, Rick.
Finally.
So we finally get to the NFL draft. And of course, there was not going to be any surprise at the top of that draft. We knew how that was going to go. We knew Trevor Lawrence would go. Then we knew Zach Wilson would go. Everybody who knew that the draft did not actually start until the Niners jumped on the clock with the third pick overall. So, the heady play, the smart play would have been to tune in a little bit late because the third pick really was officially the first pick. Except I didn't do that. I'm not about that life. No, you know me. I run out every single ground ball. I run out every pop-up, every fly ball. Last night, I'm sure as hell glad that I did that because who did I see up on the stage to start the NFL draft?
So tonight, to celebrate our fans, we're going to have an NFL fan from out here that's vaccinated come up to this stage for each draft pick tonight and sit in that chair, which is a chair I did the draft from in 2020. So I'm going to let Jarvis and Bernie pick the Jaguar fan who comes up first. Guys, go for it. All right, we got a winner.
I know that voice. Are you kidding me? The commissioner, Jarvis Landry, Bernie Kosar, Joe Thomas, and Danica. Danica! Like, I knew she was in Cleveland because she told us, just as she told us that she was going to ruin some Cleveland tenderonis when she got there. Now, remember, that team had sent her there as their fan of the year, and she was all about it. She was living out the Duval dream, tweeting out pics of herself in Cleveland and videos of her pre-gaming before the draft. But again, I'm sorry, what? I mean, I could not tell if that was real or I was hallucinating. To quote that kid in the dental chair or who made it to his parents' car, is this real life? Did I really just see the commissioner, Jarvis Landry, Bernie Kosar, and Danica? The commish. Three Cleveland legends and the queen herself. Did I see a clone on stage at the NFL draft before the first pick? And not only going on the stage, but being invited up on stage. That's not like some clone got loose and got sauced and then took off running across the stage and then got body slammed by security. That was not a moment that needed Kevin Harlan shouting, "The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes."
Then again, that was not just any clone. That, in fact, was the queen. and she was being invited on stage by the commissioner to sit in his chair. You know, the very chair from his basement from last year's COVID draft. I mean, the whole thing to me was just so surreal. Did somebody replace my mushroom powder with real magic mushrooms in my coffee? Because I could have swore, that must have been Hawk, I could have swore I saw a famous clone posted up on the stage of the NFL draft before the first pick. Something I've never seen before and something that I know I will never see ever again. Did that bleep really happen? This is the same gal who tweeted, quote, "Hey, Jaguars family, what a night. Not only for me, but for our franchise. I hope I made you proud. I brought the whole of Duval with me. I felt that. It felt good. Work not done. Back again tomorrow. Can I get a hashtag Duval?
Duval!
Danica!
Duval!
Too much. So after the queen turned that chair into her throne, I'm not sure if they needed to keep up that bit of letting fans from each team sit in that seat. Nobody was going to live up to the queen or her rep, and the bit did get a little bit tired after a while. But then again, it did give Roger Goodell a moment to attempt to be a normal human being. And that went about as terribly as you might expect.
There you go. Come on. Welcome to the 2021 NFL Draft. Come on. Come on, Cleveland.
Nothing. Let's go. Come on.
Listen, I'm not saying that the other commissioners of all the other sports are the smoothest, coolest cats in the world, but man, it is remarkable how awkward Roger Goodell is when it comes to reading names and greeting guys. Like, you've had an entire year to get ready for this. You've had several years of actually doing this, and it's still awkward as hell. Like, who was hosting the draft last night? Was it Roger in Cleveland or Matt in Cleveland?
What's going on?
What's up?
First of all, being a star linebacker in Canada, that just means you're a failed hockey player. Christy Alley... Val Kilmer, global warming.
I mean, damn.
Come on, Cleveland.
No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that.
I mean, seriously, Raj, I'm not looking for you to be Jimmy Kimmel or anything, but man, mix in like a Toastmasters international meeting or two, or at least somewhat of a personality. But again, the draft is not about Roger Goodell and his awkwardness. It's about the players. And last night, it was all about the 49ers. And what would they do with that third pick overall? Would they go with Mac Jones, as damn near everybody on the planet had been claiming in their mock drafts? After all, he is a pocket passer. He looks and he plays like a lot of guys that Kyle Shanahan has had success with. And yes, Niner fans would have been pissed if they gave up everything they gave up to get Mac Jones at 3... when for months he had been expected to go right where they were picking originally. However, in Kyle, you trust, right? You know the guy can coach. You know the guy can scheme. So let him pick his quarterback. Let him pick his quarterback, and his pick was...
with the third pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
Uh-oh! You were expecting Mac Jones, weren't you? You may have even put money down on Mac Jones. Or maybe you said, I'm not going to bite on that play fake. I'm expecting Justin Fields. And then what do? They go and they take Trey Lance. Man, that is so brass. That's Kyle Shanahan just putting his big brass set right on the table for everybody to see. It's brass and it's impressive. You're taking a guy who played one game in the past year. You're taking a guy who has played a total of 17 games, and he did so at the FCS level. Man, that's a hell of a move. To take a guy who was lighting up the Western Illinois Leathernecks, and you're going to drop that guy in against Aaron Donald, J.J. Watt, and Jamal Adams. But that's what the Niners did, and you know what? Man, I love it. I absolutely love it. If you do not understand why, go back to my interview with him on Wednesday. Listen back to that interview. You tell me that's not a guy that you want to buy stock in. It's a 20-year-old, and he sounds like a 50-year-old. You don't come across 20-year-olds who've got that level of maturity, wisdom, and thoughtfulness. I'm talking about a guy who's reading the inner game of tennis. He's doing it at that age. You know, so great. He's got a good mindset. What can he do athletically? Pretty much anything he wants. So we got a guy who wants to grow. He wants to get better. He has got freaky athletic ability, and he's got a mindset to match. And he's got that arm, and he's got that head, and he's got that game. We're talking again about a guy who had 42 touchdowns in the air and on the ground in 2019 and zero INTs. And he has spent a lot of time under center already, running a ton of play action. So if I'm Kyle Shanahan and I'm John Lynch, that's not a yes. That's a hell yes. No wonder Shanny was not looking to tell you that he was taking Lance instead of Jones. Why would he? And I'm sure the league appreciated that as well. Because if you already knew who the first three picks were, you would not have tuned in and you would have missed the queen herself. So yes, I love that pick for the 49ers. I love it for Trey Lance. It's a big ass, badass swing. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to play or work. What I'm saying is it's about as brass a move as you could possibly make, and I could not respect it any more than I do. And when the Niners say that they're not in any rush to trade Jimmy G, I believe that too, because the market has completely dried up. The teams that needed help at quarterback got help at quarterback, so there's not going to be some bidding war for Garoppolo or some crazy market for him. But know this, they did not give up what they gave up to get Trey Lance to have him sit for an entire year after he just sat for most of the year. That would not make any sense. Just like giving up everything they gave up just to select Mac Jones never made any sense. What I'm saying is, I love that pick, and I love a lady clone kicking off the draft by sitting in the commissioner's chair. I just wish that she had announced all the picks instead of that wooden and laconic old man himself.
War Lady Clones.
Duval!
Just hearing that voice on that broadcast makes me laugh. Danica!
Duval!
Way to represent. Danica, I'm proud of you. Elsewhere, Aaron Rodgers was all the rage before that draft when that report broke that he did not want to return to the Packers. Remember on this show yesterday how pissed Packer fan was and how Packer fan jammed the phone lines and they were all calling in saying, man, our GM had best not jack this up again. I mean, Packer fan was furious even before the draft, even before they had a chance to possibly jack up that pick. And that was before the story broke that Aaron Rodgers was disgruntled and he was not going to return. So where does that leave them? Where does that leave him? Can they fix this or not? I've got all sorts of thoughts on how badly they jacked that up. 1-800-636-8686. More on the draft itself. Mac Jones dropping to the Pats. Do they have their next Tom Brady? You'd think so, right? I mean, I don't. But you think so based on all the pictures that people are showing of a shirtless Tom Brady back in the day and a shirtless Mac Jones today. Oh, wait a minute. That guy's not shredded. That guy can't run. We have ourselves another Tom Brady. Yeah, if that were the case, you could pull any guy with a dad bod off the street and you'd have a Hall of Famer. How about Chicago? Chicago, did they finally get it right? That's hilarious to me. I love that. I love people rushing in. Hey, Roman, what do you think now about Chicago? I think it's hilarious. I really do. That they made the move they made to get Justin Fields. And why do I think the Bears are way happier to have him than he is to have them? Why? Because I know. I will get to that a little bit later on. Quickly, some reaction. At Good Life Sean tweets, I was at the draft. And I can confirm that Danica did indeed ruin some pepperonis last night. My chest has never hurt so bad. Signed, Keith Arnold.
I didn't have big nipples. Like, let's be real.
I think that she was looking to wreck a tenderoni and not a pepperoni. And for the last time, Chael Jr., Keith Arnold, does not have pepperoni nipples. Ask him.
Big nipples. Like, let's be real.
Let's be real. Hey, Rome. Roger Goodell should have had me pump up the crowd last night because I like to get hyped. Troy Nicholas.
Hey, I like to get hyped for games. When I get hyped, I take my shirt off. I take it off.
Oh, man.
I feel out. I can't hear you know that.
Troy, what's up, brother? Hey, Raider fan, you are skating. You are skating, Raider fan. Do you really think that I forgot that your team selected Alex Leatherwood? Do you really think that I forgot about that? Or I didn't know about that? The hell kind of pick is that? The hell kind of pick is that? 1-800-636-8686. All right, I've got Will Brinson coming up next. Bucky Brooks, top of hour number two. The big head, James Kelly, in the second hour too. Get up in here. C-Town, how about that draft in your backyard? I wonder if the queen herself will call today. I'm sending out the bat headline. That. Danica, where you at? Got a question for you, clones. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so good? There is something to be said for a family business, right? A family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality that you're buying right through their iconic Clearview packages. That's why they do it like that, so you can see exactly what you're getting. And then every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use just the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to the real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper is unlike any other beef jerky, and it comes in four amazing flavors: old-fashioned, teriyaki, peppered, hot and spicy, all chock full of good protein. It satisfies your manliest hunger cravings, and it gives you that real sustained energy you're looking for. Old Trapper simply is a better way to snack. So make it a part of your weekly grocery list. Keep a good supply on hand like we do here. Hook yourself and your family up with it. If you do not see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. It's Old Trapper and everybody else. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Check this. The big race in Louisville is the oldest continuously held major sporting event in the U.S. That dog show from the Garden, second oldest. If you count Orin in Denver's phone call, the Smackoff ranks fifth. Do not get run on your big race bets this year. Go to americasbestracing.net for the ultimate cheat sheet. Bet small, win big, let it ride with americasbestracing.net. Joined right now by CBS Sports senior writer. He's a friend of the program. He is host of the Pick Six podcast. My man hates ketchup. He is Will Brinson. Will, what's going on?
Jim, what's going on, man? Just hoping you've got some looks at these horses this weekend, man.
Hey, you know, it is the Derby. All about that, Will. I love it. It is the best 2 minutes in sports. But what about last night, Will? I got to ask you. So you called your shot earlier in the week. You said that you thought the 49ers would go with Justin Fields. What was your reaction when they instead took Trey Lance?
Well, I had leveraged myself pretty publicly against Mac Jones going third overall, so I was fine with it. And, you know, in terms of financially speaking, obviously it hurt my mock draft. But I phrased it wrong. I should have said that what they were going to do was not draft Mac Jones, and that was the thing. It was a smokescreen the whole time. Kyle Shanahan came out and said that he was in Mexico when the trade went down, Jim, and that he had no intention of ever drafting Mac Jones. And to me, that was obvious. It was the trade goes down in the middle of Zach Wilson's pro day with the entire NFL world watching, and all of a sudden, everyone who follows the NFL closely, the insiders, everyone's being told it's definitely Mac Jones. It made so much sense. It made no sense. So I thought they were going in a different direction. They went that way. Obviously, the field thing I was off on. You know, he ends up landing in a good spot, but man, it's hard not to be excited for what Kyle Shanahan with that offense might do with Trey Lance.
I love that pick. I agree with you. Will Brinson is joining us. All right, so you mentioned Justin Fields ending up in a good spot. I find the whole thing kind of hilarious. For instance, if you're Bears GM Ryan Pace and you're already on borrowed time, is there any reason why you would not trade up a future first-round pick to get up, to get a quarterback, to buy yourself more time, Will?
Jim, that 2022 first-rounder that Ryan Pace used to trade up to get Justin Fields, that's like a $20 – for Ryan Pace, that's like a $20 bill you find in your shorts when you pull them out of the dryer. Like, it's just free money. It's money you didn't expect to have because he wasn't using it anyway. If Justin Fields stinks, if the Bears win 5 games, if Andy Dalton's terrible, he ain't using it next year anyway. So, it's the dumb way that the NFL operates, in that there's almost a reward for mortgaging your future, mortgaging a franchise's future. The good thing is that he traded up and took Justin Fields, who I think could be a very good prospect. I do worry with the Bears that, the way that they've handled quarterbacks. I think if you do the math, it's something like 45 million, 3 first-round picks, a couple of third-round picks, and a second-round pick that Ryan Pace has invested in quarterbacks, Mitchell Trubisky, Mike Glennon, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, and now Justin Fields. So he's joining a list that isn't exactly good for him, but I think they got it right here. Now they just have to properly incubate the thing and get him developed. The one concern you have, go back and look at the quotes when they drafted Trubisky and they just signed Glennon, almost identical to what he said last night about Fields and Andy Dalton. So I'm a little worried about history repeating itself.
Right. Will Brinson joining us. I understand why they like him. I agree with that, but I just don't trust them to develop a young quarterback. We saw what they did with Trubisky. All right, now what about Aaron Rodgers? When that story broke, Will, before the draft itself, that he was not happy, he was disgruntled, he might not come back, what was your reaction to it, and what's your reaction to the fact that that story came out on the day of the draft?
Well, it made this draft the craziest draft run-up of all time, right? And Tim Tebow jumps, comes flying out of the plane, switches to tight end, tries to steal all the headlines, and then Aaron Rodgers dunks on him. Like, no, son, this is my time. You're not even thinking about taking these headlines. And I really just think when you look at what happened with Rodgers, it all goes back to that Jordan Love pick, right? It made Rodgers angry. And, right, he said, all right, you draft Jordan Love. It's a little insulting to me, very insulting to me, but I'm going to come out. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to play my tail off. I'm going to put up monster numbers, and I'm going to win. And he did it at an advanced age, and he won the freaking MVP. And so then he goes to the Packers. He's like, look, I won the MVP. We went to the NFC Championship game two times in a row. We should have won the Super Bowl or been in the Super Bowl, but my coach, puckered up at the end and decided to kick a field goal instead of going for it on fourth. And as a result, I want a new contract that guarantees I stay in Green Bay for a while. And now they want to restructure, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's just gotten to the point where he's so insulted that he just wants out.
I don't blame the guy. So how do you see it playing out? Do you think that he is done in Green Bay, or can the Packers somehow get back to him and fix this?
I think the trade is tough. And I do think Aaron Rodgers is the type of guy where he's strong enough, he's stubborn enough, he's done enough in his career, and he's got this Jeopardy gig on the side, which he's fairly good at and probably pays him pretty well. It can occupy his time, that he's maybe takes a stance and says, no, I'm not coming back. I'm not playing for this team. I'm not playing for this new version of management that has decided that I'm old news and wants to go with Jordan Love. It's like, by all means, go with Jordan Love. Be my guest. And the problem is, can they facilitate a trade? Because if this comes out 3 weeks ago, there's ample time for these teams to maneuver with current draft picks. I think it's going to be tough to make the trade with future draft picks. Like the 49ers, for instance, I mean, they're not sending Trey Lance back, right? Because they just, the Packers just drafted Jordan Love. That's the problem. If they drafted Kyle Pitts at 3, maybe you could put together a package. But going with a young quarterback like that, it would make it immensely difficult. Denver does feel like a reasonable landing spot, and John Elway, he's still there. He's made big splashes. I wouldn't rule it out. I just think the cap ramifications and the need that the Green Bay would have to get multiple first back or whatever it is might make it really tough to pull off.
Will Brinson joining us for a few more moments. All right, Will, what do you make of Bill Belichick ending up with Mac Jones? What do you think was going through his mind when that guy fell right into his lap?
I mean, this guy feels like Thanos, right? It's like, I am inevitable. Mac Jones is plummeting down the draft board right into his lap. It is perfect. I mean, if you think about it, we can nitpick Mac Jones all we want, and there are certainly flaws that Mac Jones has, but he's a really accurate passer. He doesn't make mistakes. He is He is quick within the pocket, as people have pointed out over and over and over again, to try and justify Kyle Shanahan taking the three. And if you're picking two landing spots for him, it would be San Francisco and it would be New England, because McDaniels can work with this guy. You can put him into a Tom Brady system and help him learn. And they do have a red shirt year if they want to do that with Cam Newton still there. They can test out Cam and then put in Mac Jones. So I think you look at what they did this offseason, adding two tight ends and with a good offensive line, you can see this team winning games with Mac Jones under center. And I don't want to – I got ahead of myself last offseason, saying, oh, you gave Belichick Cam Newton. It's over again. So I don't want to do that with Mac, but it does feel like a massive win for the Patriots and maybe an even bigger win for Mac Jones.
We are talking to Will Brinson. All right, well, one more topic before you go. The Jets take Zach Wilson, no surprise there. But then they come right back and they get an offensive lineman. How significant is that for the Jets and for Wilson?
I love it, Jim. You know, Joe Douglas has done a really underrated job of following what I like to look at as sort of a Buffalo model, in the sense that you build out this infrastructure, you get offensive linemen, you get pieces, you know, skill position guys, and then you drop the quarterback in there. You don't do it the other way around. You don't force a quarterback to try and drag everybody up from the bottom. You give them opportunities to succeed. That should work in all walks of life. It definitely works that way in professional football. And I think Douglas knows the importance of giving his young quarterback a quality offensive lineman to grow with. He wants to give him talent around him. That's why he signed Corey Davis in the offseason, you know. And I think he'll continue to do that as we progress in the drafts, just because they want Zach Wilson to succeed. And the best way to make Zach Wilson work is to give him quality pieces around him.
I actually have one last question for you, Will. What about Jacksonville? What's your reaction to them taking a running back in the first round? They take Travis Etienne, and then Urban Meyer says he's going to use him as a third down back. What do you make of that statement?
I mean, it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. It's not the most ridiculous thing. That's pretty ridiculous. You don't draft. First of all, Travis Etienne is not a third down back
at all.
Travis Etienne is a full time. Like, you want the ball in his hands as much as possible. So you're telling me that you want Carlos Hyde touching the ball instead of Travis Etienne? That defies all logic. And I worry a little bit about Urban Meyer's future there. Look, he's a great coach. He succeeded everywhere. I don't want to get old takes exposed here by questioning it, but man, some of the things he's saying and sort of the way he's operating and the choices he's making personnel wise definitely raised some red flags for me. It's going to be hard to lose with Trevor Lawrence on your team, but I at least have an eyebrow cocked, you know, in the direction of Duval County there.
Yeah, I do not get that selection and then that subsequent statement that, yeah, we found ourselves a third down back. Really? You're going to take a running back in the first round and you're going to play him on third down when the guy's not a third down back? Makes no sense to me
exactly.
At all. He is a CBS Sports senior writer. He's a friend of the program. He is host of the Pick Six podcast. He is Will Brinson. Will, thanks for getting us started. Appreciate you as always.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Have a great weekend, dude.
You too, Will. Be good. 1-800-636-8686. I'm hammering that phone number because you want to get in right now. It's going to be a very difficult day for you to get on the air if you want to call. Also, what about Aaron Rodgers? Now what? Man, the team could not have jacked that up any worse than they did. So I want to get into that entire thing. Would he really walk off? Would he really not come back and play for them? According to PFT, he had a list of three teams that he would be willing to go to. Broncos, to me, would make sense. Make a lot of sense, actually. They're a possibility. In addition to that, if you're the Packers, can you make this thing right? And how did it get to this point in the first place? How do you have a Hall of Fame quarterback and the league MVP, and you're on the wrong side of that? You think about all the time, all the money, everything invested to get the one thing that most teams will never, ever have, and you have it, and you still find a way to jack that up. So I want to get into that when we come back. Top of the hour, I've got Bucky Brooks, Big Head Bets with James Kelly next hour. Right now, here is a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Every single line is lit. Got myself a call bank. So we're going to roll telephone calls. Also, Friday is an ATP day. Ask the pros. You ask me a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to make sure you go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. This guy won the Smack Off back in 2013. If you win a Smack Off, you don't wait. You cut the line. You go right to the front. Let's go to Hollywood. Mark, what's going on, brother?
Hire Howie. Yeah, Jim, yo, after watching the NFL draft hosted by Danica, yo, I'm so hyped that our GM Howie, who, if you check for the record, is someone that Philly fan never doubted for a second, drafted the slim reaper, Devontae Smith. Yo, the only stain last night, though, is the Eagles had to trade with Dallas to get him. I mean, forget comparing that to kissing your sister. Trading with Dallas was more like Walker, Jeff in Southfield. It's such a treat when Jeff comes in with his strange non sequiturs, his disturbing sexual fetish for Paul's dog, cancer death smack, turning the jungle into his very own verbal Jackson Pollock. Yeah, I know this guy is a mesmerizing train wreck, Jim, but unlike Tito Ortiz, your interviews with Alonzo Mourning and David Stern, and Army Hammer ending his career so he can freely bite more backs than Marv Albert, this train wreck isn't that much fun to watch. Now, look, I know what everyone is thinking. Damn, Mark, you really want to pick a fight with Jeff in Southfield? And that is a valid question. I mean, you don't see a screaming crackhead on the street roll up to him and say, hey, bro, want to go? There's no winning when you fight crackheads. If Jeff wins, people are going to look at me and say, you idiot, why did you fight a crackhead? If I win, people will look at me and say, you jerk, how are you going to beat up a crackhead? It's a zero-sum game, Jim. But here's the thing, clones. We all know I wouldn't be fighting Jeff, would I? No, no, no. Because there is no such thing as Jeff in Southfield. The first clue is that he's from a fictional city. Southfield, really? There's no town named Southfield. What, born and raised in South Detroit? Didn't want any of that fake city gloss? The second clue is that Jeff is clearly disturbed, his mind broken, as if he's been beaten down over and over again in some kind of competition. Perhaps coming in second multiple times, but never first. Someone who had to sell his soul and join forces with a roided-up asshat to even get close to a championship, but would never, ever be recognized as a true champion. Who could that be, you ask? Mike it into, you faux-ass biatch. Yo, is this how low you've sunk? What, did Mike look at Garth Brooks' act when he dumped a vat of tar in his hair, wedged his fat, chafing thighs into some sack-hugging skinny jeans, and went Chris Gaines with it? Jim, you know how Kevin Durant has burner accounts on Twitter? Mikey De La Jeff is the first clone to have burner caller personas. Mike, when Jim started his side hustle, the reinvention project, this is not what he had in mind, you kook. Your time is over, bro. So please, stop calling Jeff, Mike, whatever your name is. Because the thing about Chris Gaines, he could always turn back into Garth Brooks and be a winner. You, on the other hand, you invented an alter ego that is just as much of a bitch-ass loser as you are. Welcome to Smack Off season.
My man, rack him. I was going to say, Mark, you do know that today is not the Smack Off, right? That's a Smack Off quality call right there. Of course, he is a former champ. Mark in Hollywood also subscribing to the conspiracy theory that Jeff in Southfield does not exist. That it's not Jeff in Southfield. It's really Mike in Indy. And I mentioned, I don't buy that myself. I just don't. I could be wrong, but I don't see it that way. Members of the XR4TI, though, do as well. And clearly, Mark thinks so. Gotta admit, Mike doesn't call. Jeff does. That doesn't mean that Jeff is Mike, but maybe he is. If you want to weigh in on that conspiracy theory, you go right ahead. Do you think that Jeff in Southfield really is actually Mike in Indy? I'm saying he's not. 1-800-636-8686. I should put up a poll. I'm not a poll guy, but I should put up a poll. Is Jeff in Southfield really Mike in Indy? And Mark and Hollywood want to make sure that everybody was welcome to Smack Off season. I still do not have a date, but there will be a Smack Off this year. You know this. Good job, Mark. Let's go to the phones. Oh, look who's here. The Queen. I put out that bat signal. I said, I hope she calls. She rolled up on stage. I had this in the open. It was so big. You've got the commissioner. You have Jarvis Landry. You have Bernie Kosar. You have Joe Thomas. And you have the Queen, Danica, on stage with the rest of them. She's checking in now from Cleveland. Danica, what's going on? How are you?
Rome, I don't know who was ruined last night. I don't know about the Tenderonis, but I was definitely ruined because I probably had about 2 hours of sleep and too many fireballs.
How many fireballs, Queen?
I lost count after three.
Okay. All right. And then how many?
After three.
We're running video of you right now. That was great. So take me through it. What was last night like for you? How much of a blast was that?
Never in a million years did I think that that was going to happen. I'm just thinking, I'm just going to go to draft, inner circle, get a few shots on TV, screaming Duval or whatnot, and that would have been the end of the night. Never did I think that they were going to call me up on stage to sit in that chair to meet the commissioner. I mean, he already came by and gave fist bumps. I thought that was it, you know, but anything else, just no clue. And I have to say, getting up there, there was no nerves. It felt right. It felt like I belonged there. And basically, that's why I threw my arms out. It was just like, I'm here. Like, Duval's here. The Queen is here. You know, you can start the draft.
I love it. That's exactly the way it felt to me. So what about your phone? Were clones and friends blowing you up when they saw you on TV? Not only on TV, but to start the NFL draft, and you just kicking it in that throne.
Constantly. When they got back to my seat, it was just wild. There was Twitter sent me a notification, said, you're getting too many notifications. Do you need to make a filter? I've never seen that before. And my poor brother, he's just standing there looking at me because he was just shocked for seeing me go up there, and it just blew his mind, and his phone was going off too. So it was a chain reaction, my phone, his phone. It just constant.
So how many tenderonis got wrecked last night?
Well, I got the Joe, the first one, walking in. You know, that was pretty easy right there, pretty simple. And, you know, a couple more on the way in, way out. Maybe some this morning. The day's still young. Going to head back down there to the experience. You know, day's not over. And then all day today, tonight, and there's still tomorrow.
You know it. She is the Queen. Danica, I'm proud of you. I thought that was awesome. I don't want to say I did double take when I saw you, but I was pumped to see you, and I know Clone Nation was too. Listen, have a great time. Enjoy it. Wreck some more tenderonis, and we'll check in with you soon.
All right. Go Duval!
The Queen, Danica. Now remember, if you are not aware of why she is the queen and why we're talking about pepperonis and tenderonis and people getting wrecked, it all goes back to her original classic call to the program.
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the game, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
All right, so she points out, you know, I thought I'd come around, maybe show up. I did not know they'd have me out there on the stage, in the throne, but it felt right. You know what? It looked like it felt right. You look comfortable, Queen. Let's keep going. 1-800-636-8686. I've got Bucky Brooks in 10 minutes, so we're rolling phone calls this segment. Let's go to Buffalo. Margo, what's going on?
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I
got
to give a shout out to the Queen, Mick. Awesome. You know what else was awesome? You know what was a huge armpit? Russo.
Either you're on speakerphone or it's a bad connection. I think you shouted out to the Queen. I think you talked about somebody having a big armpit, but I can't make sense of it, Margo. It's not that hard. If you're on hold, don't play games, don't get cute, don't try to talk into a speakerphone, hold the phone to your head, speak directly into it, you're on the radio in front of several million people, all right? This is not that hard. Speak directly into your phone. take yourself off speakerphone. 1-800-636-8686. I've got Big Head Bets with James Kelly coming up next hour. Let's go to Houston right now. Paul in Houston. What's going on, Paul? How are you?
Ken Smack, I am so excited about Saturday. I missed the Derby last year. They postponed it to September, and it really ruined my my May. Look, the hats, the hotties, the mint juleps. And this year we have a throwback to Silver Charm. We've got a gray that is the favorite, and he's going to disappoint. I watched the Bluegrass Stakes, and one of my 30-1 shots took him head-to-head, face-to-face, wire-to-wire, and I believe that we're going to have a, not a 20-horse photo finish, but at least a 7-horse photo finish. So I'm boxing 7 for the try, 7 for the super, and I'm looking for these deep closers to come running hard. So I'm Playman. Oh.
My man. All right, so somehow he got through it. He was talking about the Derby. He was talking about the favorite being all out in a prep race, and that's why he does not like the favorite there. Eddie Olczyk was saying something similar, too, about essential quality. I will get into all of this with Big Head James Kelly. We're going to break down the Derby as well as some other things, and we will share our picks. That's coming up next hour. Quick tweak on the break. Rome Slice, Kamish, Jarvis Landry, Bernie Kosar, Joe Thomas, and Danica. Regards, James Franco.
Drivers and Danica, start your engines!
Geoff and Lincoln. When we come back, Bucky Brooks joins me. We get his thoughts on the draft last night. Right after that, the Big Head, James Kelly. Stay tuned.